My name's John Helmfer. I think I know most of you guys in here, but I've been going to Grace now for almost 13 years with my wife and our four kids, and just really happy to be here there this morning with you guys. And this morning we're going to be talking about faithfulness at work. Faithfulness at work. And Pastor Jack already talked about moms this morning and that there's no job more important than what moms do. So for the moms in this room, number one, happy Mother's Day. But also this class will be good for you guys as well. And so if faithfulness at work is not the class you guys are looking for, now would be the time to exit out of the double doors. And if you're here this morning just because, well, the sanctuary was the easiest one to walk to, I apologize in advance. All right, so we're going to start off with a little game. And there's only one rule. And the rule is you have to participate. All right, so that's the only rule. So if everybody could just close their eyes for a minute. Close your eyes for a minute. We're going to imagine together. Imagine. It's actually going to be like a day kind of like today. It's a beautiful spring day. You're walking down the street. The sun is shining. The flowers are blooming. But this street, it's a little bit different. As you look down the street, it's just massive, tall buildings. So tall, you can't even see the top of them. And in front of every building, there's a ladder. No windows, no doors. It already sounds like a bad real estate play, but just a large building with a ladder. You carefully look around and you pick the best one. It looks sturdy, it looks stable, and it's leaning against the most attractive building. This, you say, is the ladder you definitely want to go up. And you start climbing, and the climb isn't easy. It takes years, decades, sacrifice, hard work. But you give everything you have, and you keep going, because you know when you reach the top of this ladder, it's going to be all worth it. Finally, after 40 years, you reach the top. You're about to lift your arms into the sky and to celebrate, and you look around, and you realize you climbed the wrong ladder. You climbed the wrong ladder. Depression starts to settle in, and you wonder what it all was for. All right, you guys can open your eyes. Church, this is what it's like when we pursue success without understanding purpose. And it happens every day in real life. You guys probably all know Tom Brady, right? Maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. Won a lot of Super Bowls. I don't know if Pastor Jackson here, something the Cowboys don't know that much about recently. But he was interviewed on the show 60 Minutes after winning his third Super Bowl, and this is what he said. He said, "Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and I still think there's something greater for me? God, there has to be more than this." See, Tom Brady got to the top of the ladder and he was still searching. Jim Carrey said it another way, one of the most successful actors Hollywood has seen. He said this. He said, "I think everybody should get rich. I think everybody should get famous. I think they should do everything that they dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer." He also reached his goals and was still searching for the answer. And this shouldn't be a surprise to us, right? In fact, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2:11, "Then I consider all that my hands had done and the toil that I expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, for there was nothing to be gained under the sun." And Solomon, in today's day and age, did it all, had it all, right? And how did it end up? In Ecclesiastes 2:17, he says, "So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and striving after a wind." You guys feeling good yet this morning? Again, happy Mother's Day. But I urge you, brothers and sisters, especially the young people here this morning, if we don't learn from this, no matter how successful you might become, how many goals you reach, we're going to end up empty. So today we're going to make sure that our ladder is leaning up against the right wall. And I'm going to offer five imperatives to faithfulness at work. And if you have the notes there, you can see them there. But five imperatives to faithfulness at work through a biblical worldview. And five things we're going to look at is our purpose, our values, our assignment, which our assignment will be our job, and that could be a mom, a student, our goals and our habits. So you guys with me? You guys ready to go? Point number one, our purpose, our purpose. Our purpose answers the question, why do we exist? Why were we created? Get this, this is the most important part. If you don't get down purpose, everything else will be wrong as well. Our purpose is not what we do, it's not our job, but it's why we exist. So I think one of the biggest mistakes we can make is taking our identity tied up with our career or our job. You may hear, I'm a doctor, I'm an accountant, I'm a student. All good and important jobs, but that's not why we exist. Our purpose is bigger than that. So let me give you five suggestions for a strong purpose, five biblical suggestions. Number one, and Rob Stem talked about this a few weeks ago, but number one, glorifying God, glorifying God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, student, whatever you do, mom, whatever you do, electrician, do it all to the glory of God. Isaiah 43 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. We were created for God's glory, and glorifying God is definitely a purpose worth climbing the ladder for. How about suggestion number two, growing in Christ's likeness. Growing in Christ's likeness. I'm not as good as Pastor Jack with the notes, but there's blanks there if you want to fill them in. Growing in Christ's likeness. Romans 8:29 says, to be conformed to the image of his son. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, it is God's will that we be sanctified. You see, God didn't just save us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's making us more like Christ. Another great purpose to consider is making Christ known. Making Christ known. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. In 2 Corinthians, it says that we are ambassadors of Christ. So we're not just saved from something, we're saved for something. We're saved to make Christ known. Pastor Jack has said this multiple times, that every message, every sermon at some point has got to point to Jesus. But our message usually isn't given on Sunday mornings, right? Our main message is given Monday through Fridays while we're in the workplace. So are we ambassadors for Christ there and making Christ known there? Number four, stewarding faithfully. Great purpose of stewarding faithfully. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Matthew 25:21 says, well done, good and faithful servant. See, God didn't call us to be successful. He just called us to be faithful. Whether we have a lot, whether we have little, or are we being faithful in it? And so, steward. I'll ask you guys, what's a good definition for steward? How would you define steward? Yeah. Managing. Exactly. Managing. And why are we stewards? Right? Everything we have ultimately is God. So as a steward, you're just managing somebody else's possessions, somebody else's assets. So steward faithfully with our time, our talents, yes, we hear that a lot. Steward faithfully with our money, our family, yes, we hear that a lot. Most importantly, though, how are we stewarding this, right? Stewarding the gospel, what God has given us. So another purpose worth climbing for. Last one I'll suggest is serving others, serving and impacting others. Matthew 5:14 says, let your light shine. And why do we want to let our light shine? Because it says that so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, but value others above yourselves. In Mark, we see even the Son of God, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve. If Jesus had the mission and the purpose of serving others, isn't that a calling worth following? So I ask you, if these things aren't part of your purpose, if it doesn't drive everything else, we can climb that ladder as high as we want for as long as we want and still end up empty. So glorifying God, becoming like Christ, pointing others to Christ, stewarding faithfully and serving others. If we get the purpose wrong, everything else will be wrong. All right, so if we understand purpose, maybe a tougher question is, does my life actually reflect, Does my behavior actually reflect the purpose that I say I believe in? So you hear a lot about core values, right? For all those guys in the business world, every company has core values. They're probably on the back of a t-shirt, up on a wall, probably first thing you see on their website. Enron had core values. You guys remember Enron? Probably you young kids don't remember Enron. I'll tell you Enron's core values. Respect, integrity, communication, and excellence. Sounds like some good core values, right? Well, $45 billion in fraud later, we found out those really weren't the values that they lived by. And that's the danger, right? You can say the right things, you can show up at church, you can know theology, and yet your heart can still be far from the Lord and completely live differently Monday through Saturday. So core values is where the rubber meets the road, right? It's where our purpose comes to life. I used to love when Pastor Randy would give this example multiple times, but he'd say a lot, you know, if you call yourself an apple tree, at some point, there's got to be some apples on that tree, right? And so in the same way, if we say our purpose is to glorify God, to impact others, to point people to Christ, does our behavior at least somewhat reflect that during the week? So let me get real. Let me just give you a couple examples here of our behavior in the workplace. Number one, integrity. And we've had some classes recently on integrity, and I won't go too deep into it, but Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart. Work with all of your heart as for the Lord. So integrity, I think you guys probably know the definition, right? It's doing the right thing when nobody is watching. But to even put it farther than that, it's doing the right thing in the right way at the right time according to the truths of Scripture. And today's culture, they tell us that there is no absolute truth, right? And we know the truth to that. And ultimately, we are working for the Lord. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:21, he says, take pain, go so far that it's painful in doing what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. And what Paul's telling us here is that we need to be above reproach. And that includes at the workplace. That includes with your boss. But let's even make it a little bit more real and have some application. Remote working is something that's very common today, right? Working from home. Well, when we're working from home, are we working with the same effort that we would be if our boss was sitting right next to us? Students learning is a little different these days, right? Well, when we go into school, are we doing it with our best effort to actually learn? Or are we just finding good ways to use, you know, Mr. Chat or Gemini or Claude? Parents, are we intentional with our time? At home, at work, or we found a lot on this very addictive device, just scrolling throughout the day? How about financially? Are we being honest even when no one would know? Are we paying Caesar what is Caesar's? Luke 16:10 says, whoever is faithful in little is faithful in much. And you know, I think that's the thing with integrity, right? It doesn't collapse overnight in a big moment. Not that long ago, I think we saw a major collapse in integrity with this couple that was caught at a concert on a big screen. I don't know if you guys remember that moment, but that moment of integrity and cheating on their spouses didn't happen in one big full swoop, right? It probably started with a look and then maybe a text message and then some flirting. You see, integrity erodes slowly in the little things over time. We don't drift into it, we drift away from it. How about another behavior to show our purpose? How about striving for excellence? Excellence. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hands find, do it with all of your might. We see here to do it with all of our might. Colossians, we see to do it with all of our heart. And it's not about being the best, it's just about giving your best. Not doing the bare minimum. I mean, even the world knows okay is not okay, right? Again, 1 Corinthians, do all to the glory of God. So subpar effort does not point to a great God. Servanthood. How about servanthood in the workplace? Are we helping or are we just doing our job? Are we taking credit or are we giving it away? Last one, how about humility? Humility. Can you be corrected without getting defensive? Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Do you love discipline? What does that mean to love discipline? That means you want to be coached. You want to get better. You want to be called out when you're not correct. You know, pride says, I'm good. Humility says, help me grow. I think sometimes maybe we can look not all that different from the world. Instead of gratitude, we complain. And how about complaining for a second? That's one of those things that we're really good at, complaining. Like, we don't need training or seminars or an accountability partner to become good at complaining. That's just something that we do well automatically. But can we really work on that one, right? Is there any other habit maybe more unchristlike than complaining? It's pretty much saying, you know, God, I don't like the plan that you have for me right here. I don't like what your will is for me in this. But again, our behavior, how can we look different? Are we being diligent? Are we coasting? Are we being patient and calm in tough times, or are responding with anxiety and anger? Maybe my first verse, my favorite verse to reflect our behavior on this is Philippians 2, 14 through 15. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. I'll tell you what, I've used this verse a lot over the years. Has anybody else used this verse a lot over the years? What situation have you guys used it a lot in? I know for me, it's been parenting, right? It's real easy to say as a parent to your kids, hey, no grumbling or complaining in all situations, right? But how about us? You know, how are we, even with fellow believers, on that side of grumbling and arguing? You know, at the end of that verse, it says, we will shine like the stars in the sky. We were called to shine. We were not called to blend in the workplace. So if the purpose is why we climb, it's why we exist, why we were created, our behavior and our values hopefully line up with that purpose, that we're acting in the same way. The next question is, and kind of the title of this, of being faithful at work, is where has God placed us to live this out? So point number three, our assignment. And this is the third imperative to being faithful at work, is understanding our role and our job. And isn't it amazing how God designed this for us to live out our purpose through work? You see, our job is temporary, it's changing, it doesn't have to be the same. You know, I've made subs for a long time. I don't think my calling was necessarily to sling cold cuts on the slicer, right? I think my purpose was much bigger than that. But it's the assignment that God put me at that moment, right? And so, though our job can change over the years, our purpose should not. And before we go any farther, let's just understand God's design for work. He did not design work as a result of sin. It was God's idea. In Genesis 2:2, it says, on the seventh day, God finished the work he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from his work. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. God created work, and God created us to work. Work is not a necessary evil. God worked for the joy of it, and we're designed to work and to find meaning in that as well. I like, and I didn't mention this before, but really good book just on work for any readers out there, Every Good Endeavor by Timothy Keller. Very strong book just on how to view work. He says it in his book this way. He says, work is so, and listen to this, this is good. Work is so foundational to our makeup that we can take it in significant doses without harm. The Bible does not say that we should work one day and rest 6 days, or that rest and work should even be evenly balanced. Leisure and pleasure are great goods, but we can only take so much of them. So in other words, work is not a burdensome command. It's actually designed for us to flourish. So I think you cannot have a meaningful life without work. You cannot have a meaningful life without work. But you also cannot make work the meaning of your life. Did he catch that? You cannot have a meaningful life without work. Work is part of God's design, but you cannot make work the meaning of your life. And Martin Luther and John Calvin said something revolutionary. They said, there is nothing that's less spiritual work. So whether that's the work of a mother, the work of a business owner, of a tradesman, it is all just as much an assignment from God as that as a pastor or a missionary. In fact, Paul tells us the same thing in 1 Corinthians 7:17. He tells the church, and this is the church, they're coming to Christ, they're being saved, and they think maybe there's got to be a lot of changes in their life. And Paul says, let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule in all of my churches. So where you are, that is the assignment God has called you right now. Live out your purpose in that assignment. It means your job is not random. It's not an accident. It's an assignment from God. And work matters. And it's a wonderful thing when we live out our purpose through work. It's where we glorify God. It's where we can steward the things that he's given us faithfully. It's where we can point others to Christ. It's where we can grow more like Christ. So two people can have the same exact job. One person sees it as a burden. The other person sees it as a calling. But we must not confuse our job again with our purpose, right? If we put too much weight on our job, what happens? Success becomes everything. Success is everything. And then if failure comes, it's absolutely crushing. And work becomes exhausting. So your job was never meant to carry your identity. Your job is not meant to carry your identity. Your job was meant to be the place, the playing field. God gave you a tremendous playing field where you can live your identity in Christ out. So far, our purpose, we get that wrong, we get everything else wrong. Our purpose should lead to our behavior and how we act. If we're an apple tree, there should be some apples there. And then our job is our assignment, where we live out that purpose. So our fourth imperative to being faithful at work is setting the right goals. Setting the right goals. Because once we've understand our purpose and we understand that we need to act according to that purpose, we understand the role of work and being the playing field that we live out that purpose, then it's like, all right, well, what do I aim at? What do I shoot at? And here's the reality. If you aim at nothing, guess what? You're going to hit it every single time, right? If you aim at nothing, of course you're going to hit nothing. And then sometimes if you aim at the wrong thing, you know, Tom Brady, that's what he thought was going to completely fulfill him. If you aim at the wrong thing, even if you hit it, you might end up empty. So we really need to get our goals set straight and aligned with our purpose. Goals are the direction of our daily effort while we're there. You know, the world will define success as promotion, more money, results, recognition. But remember, God just said faithfulness. Be faithful. Be faithful. Again, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful, it says in 1 Corinthians 4:2. So God's not measuring us by our results, our promotions. You know, it didn't say well done, good and successful servant, just well done, good and faithful servant. So what should our goals actually look like? Well, I think the purpose is the lens that you put every single goal through, right? Those are the lens that you look at your goals through. So are you glorifying God in this goal? Are you able to glorify God in the goal that you set? Is the responsibilities, are you setting your goals high enough at work? God has given you a great assignment. So are you being a faithful steward of that assignment that he's given you? Are you serving others through your goals? Are you lifting other people up and impacting others through the goals that you set at work? Is it helping you grow in Christ's likeness? Is it pointing others to Christ? But we do have to be careful with setting goals, because the Bible actually teaches us two things at the same exact time, right? There's two sides to this coin. Side number one clearly says planning, setting goals. That's a good thing. But side number two, you got to flip the other side of the coin over. It says submit, surrender to God's will. Scripture is clear on both. Let me give you a few of them. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to abundance. The careless, you know, the people aim at nothing, hit it every time. The careless, what do? They live in poverty. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, plan to provide for your family. You should plan for that. It goes on to say, if you don't, it's even worse than an unbeliever. 1 Corinthians 9 tells us to run the race how? With a desire and goal to win. They're setting a goal to win. Isaiah 32:8 says, the noble man plans noble things. So scripture is very clear. Living without direction, living without goals is not wisdom. It is wise to plan and set goals. But other side of the coin, we have to live with humility and dependence on God. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes steps. And then James reminds us in chapter 4, and I love this verse, if the Lord wills, then I'll do this and I'll do that. If the Lord wills, then I'll accomplish this and I'll accomplish that. Little side note, maybe I don't know if I should share this or not, but I don't have any tattoos. My brother-in-law has a tattoo. He got one a few years ago. And I thought, well, if I ever got a tattoo, this would probably be a pretty cool one to get. It says Deo Valente on his arm, Deo Valente. And it's the Latin word for if the Lord wills. And Martin Luther said it like this. Pray like it depends all on God. And then when you're done, go to work like it depends all on you. Because when James says, if the Lord wills, it's not just a phrase, it's a posture, right? If we plan, we work hard, we set goals, but we hold all those things loosely because God is in control. I think Pastor Jack said it well last week. He said, duties are duties, results are God. So we need to do our duties, but the results we leave up to God. And remember what Solomon taught us. If our goals are not aligned with God, we can achieve everything we set out to and still feel like we're just chasing the wind. Two people can have the same exact job. They can even hit the same exact targets and hit the same exact goals. One is chasing success and is never going to be fulfilled. One is pursuing faithfulness. One is totally building something temporary. The other one's building something eternal. One is chasing the wind. The other is fulfilled, living out God's purpose for their life. So it's not wrong to have goals. In fact, it's a very wise thing. It's just wrong to have goals that aren't aligned with God. They're more about what we accomplish. They're more about who we're becoming and who we're serving. So if you guys are still with me, purpose. Purpose tells us why we are created, why we exist. Our values answer the question of how are we going to behave according to that purpose. Our assignment is that beautiful playing field that the Lord has given each one of us to live out the purpose that he has for us. And our goals give us that direction of where we should move forward. So the final question becomes, how do we actually live this out every day? And I think the fifth and final imperative to climbing the right ladder or being faithful at work is our habits. This is where everything becomes real, because you don't become faithful someday, you become faithful daily. In one book I read, it said, we don't rise to the level of our goals. We could set lofty goals, but we're not going to rise to the level of our goals. We're going to fall to the level of our habits. We could set out a lofty goal to read a Bible in a year, but if we don't have the system and habits in place, it's going to be really tough to accomplish that goal. Again, Luke 16:10 says, one who is faithful in very little is faithful in very much. So before we can accomplish these big lofty goals, we just got to be faithful in those little things, in those little habits, in those little spiritual disciplines. Speaking of discipline, Hebrews 12:11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And discipline, right? Discipline of doing something maybe that you haven't done before over and over to create that habit. That's painful at times. That's tough. It's not easy. But what does it yield? It yields peaceful fruit of righteousness. So faithfulness is not in the big moments. It's in the small ones. It's in the unseen ones. It's in the daily choices. You know, Keller says in his book, meaningful work isn't just about big achievements, it's about daily faithfulness in serving God. You know, and we see that in our sanctification too, right? In our spiritual growth, it doesn't happen immediately. It happens over time, over years, over our lifetime. So as we apply this at work, who are you at work is revealed in the moments that no one sees. So let's just practically look at a couple applications maybe for you guys to consider as you leave today. What does your morning routine look like? Your morning routine. Have you ever thought about your morning routine and whether that lines up with your purpose? What about punctuality and showing up on time? Does that line up with our purpose? How about in the way that we work, not cutting corners, working with all of our heart and all of our might? Are we, I mean, Christians, we should be the hardest worker in our company. Choosing not to complain, owning your own mistakes, encouraging others, showing gratitude. How about our night routine? Is our night routine, is that habit setting us up to live out our purpose? Because your habits really reveal who you're working for, right? You hear a lot of times, if you want to know what someone really believes, just look at their calendar and their bank account. And you'll see what reveals their heart. So you don't drift into integrity, you don't drift into faithfulness or excellence. You build them one decision at a time. And we need to start changing our habits. So when you put it all together, we have our purpose. It tells us why. If we get this wrong again, if you don't remember anything else today, think about it. Think about what is your purpose and how does that impact your behavior? How does that impact your assignment, your work? And if our assignment is where we live out our purpose and our goals give us direction in that assignment, our habits make those things roll, make those things real, that's how we determine and make sure our ladder is leaning up against the correct wall. So as we wrap up here, let's think back to that first picture that we were imagining together, walking down that street, picking the ladder that we were going to climb. Because the truth is, every one of us is climbing a ladder through our work, through our decisions. The question is not, are you climbing the ladder, but it's how are you climbing the ladder and why are you climbing the ladder? If we don't start with the right purpose, if we don't define our values that we're going to live by, if we don't understand how work plays that role, then we can spend our entire lives climbing, only to realize when we get to the top, I've climbed the wrong ladder. But there is hope today, church. There is hope, right? Because if our ladder is leaning against that right wall and we are glorifying God and our values are shaped by his word and our assignment is and work is God that has given to us and we are living out our purpose there, and if our goals are aligned with his definition of faithfulness and we're faithful in the small habits every day, then every job matters. Every work matters. Every step matters. And that's where the Bible gives us hope, because unlike the verse in Ecclesiastes where everything under the sun, right, everything under the sun without the right purpose is meaningless and striving after the wind, 1 Corinthians 15:58 reminds us this. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So whatever career, whatever job, whatever assignment that you're in right now, know that is not in vain. So this week as you go back to work, think about that. Think about which ladder you're climbing and why you're climbing it, because in the Lord, every step of faithfulness matters. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the commands and the instructions that you give us, Lord. And as it says in Isaiah, Lord, if we pay attention to your commands, your peace will be like a river and our well-being will be like the waves of the sea. Lord, thank you for how you designed work, Lord. Thank you that we know that it's not a necessary evil, Lord, that you designed it and it is good, Lord, that you worked for the enjoyment of it. You put us here to work, and Lord, we can find meaning in it. We can live out our purpose, Lord, and we can grow more like you and point others to you. Lord, we pray that as we leave here, Lord, we would always remember this purpose of why we were created, why we exist, Lord. We pray that we would glorify you, Lord, and we pray that we would do that so that we would be, like it says in your word, Lord, stars in the sky, so that others will see that light, Lord, and they'll want to know you too. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen.